Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Bo.
How are ya?
I'm doing okay.
It doesn't sound that great, but okay, I'll take your word for it.
So, Merry Christmas, Yvonne.
Merry Christmas. How did the, have they started opening gifts over there, or what's the story?
No, everyone's still asleep. We're going to do that after we record the show and after people wake up. So I'm the only one awake.
All right.
So why don't we just get started?
Let's go.
Okay. Hey, guys. This is Curmudgeon's Corner for Sunday, December 25th, 2011. I'm Sam Minter, and this is Yvonne Bo here.
Hey, hello, everybody.
So, you'll all hear this sometime between Christmas and New Year's, so happy holidays.
Happy holidays to everybody.
Yeah, enjoy. We got the one room cleared out. We almost always get a real tree. Well, we always get a real tree. We've never not had a real tree. The last time I didn't have a real tree, I believe, was in sixth grade when I lived in Indiana.
Huh?
And we, for whatever reason, didn't get a real tree, and we actually, like, put decorations on the wall in the shape of a tree.
Okay, that's quite interesting.
That is the last time, as far as I know, that I did not have a real tree. But, like, we were, things are hectic, things are whatever. We're still, like, unpacking stuff. We took the room that we intended to put all the Christmas stuff in, which was just, like, 3 days ago, was still, like, you know, a massive chaotic thing of boxes. And we cleared it out. We put in some furniture. We unpacked the boxes and made that room, like, habitable. And then we put up the stuff. Very exciting.
That sounds
so
cool.
I will say, actually, not the house at the moment is not, let me say, it's not quite ready for guests, but every single room in the house now, other than perhaps Amy's room, because
mm-hmm.
she's a teenager and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, right. Keep that separate, yep.
Other than that, every single room is now, you can, like, walk through it. And, like, there's furniture that you can, like, sit on. And, you know, there's, you know, so it's getting in shape. Like, there's still boxes. But now the boxes are, like, neatly up against a wall or whatever. And the mess that may be in the room is, like, the daily mess. Like, you know, like, for instance, the living room.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You can have the room completely clean. And within an hour, Alex has taken out his boxes of toys and dumped them all over the floor.
Oh, God.
And so, for instance, he's got a train set that he got a while ago, maybe for his birthday. He might have even had part of it before his birthday, but he got more for his birthday and back in September. And so he had originally, like, played with this train set on a little table. But then he realized, and I admit I may have helped him realize, that you could build the train tracks on the floor.
Oh. So now these are
everywhere.
Oh, boy.
Well, they started out sort of in one corner of the living room. And then as he built the tracks out and he, like, would take apart the tracks, put them back together, but as each like, every few hours, the whole, like, configuration would seemingly move several inches to one side. So it's moved from one end of the living room all the way to the other end of the living room, out of the living room, into the kitchen at this point.
Oh, God.
Now, it's not just, like, one set of tracks going the whole distance. The whole thing has sort of moved.
Okay.
You know, but, you know...
is this an electric train set? Or
No. It's like the little wooden kind where you push
the little wooden one where you push the train along. Okay.
Like his favorite toy right now, and has been for months. So,
okay, all right.
You know, but, you know, and every once in a while we'll clean up the loose pieces, but we sort of feel bad cleaning up the part that he's built out very carefully and is still playing with.
Right. So. Yeah, because I gotcha.
Anyway.
All right. So. I, you know, 5 years ago, I decided that I was not going to buy any more natural trees for our place.
Okay.
So I bought, actually, a very nice, real-looking artificial tree.
See, now,
walk in and think it's real, but it isn't.
Our artificial tree is absolute crap. I think our intention was never to use it for multiple years. It was, like, to get by for this year.
Yeah.
But, like, it's, like, I guess it's a $100 tree that was on sale for 70% off since it was, like, the day before Christmas.
$30? Okay.
So it's, like, a $30 tree or something. And it looks like a $30 tree. You know, it's kind of, like... It's kind of a little small. It's a little sad looking. You can tell that it's like plastic. It doesn't even attempt to resemble a real tree.
No, I have mine. I have even like the fake scent to put on the tree.
See, like I can tell you right now that this tree is not going to make it to next year.
Yeah, I can tell that probably.
You know, maybe
go ahead to the trash straight after the holidays. I did a conscious decision about 2 years ago. I decided to buy more
eco-friendly and stuff.
Yeah, I figured that, you know, one time, you know, use of artificial materials and once is probably better than chopping a tree every year. So I went and
I actually read something about that just in the last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does highly depend on your tree buying habits.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently, the average person who gets an artificial tree apparently keeps it like 5 or 6 years before they trade it in for a new model.
Okay.
And apparently also the Christmas tree growers have like actually been one of the most diligent at being, you know, sustainable, eco-friendly, blah, 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 doing it in such a way that they're always replenishing their stocks. You know, like they're constantly planting new trees to replace their own. It's not like they're mowing down old growth forests of Christmas trees.
Right.
You know.
I'm not a guy that goes and buys something every 5 years. This tree is like 5 years old, and at the shape it's in, I mean, I'm sure that it'll last probably many more years to come.
Yeah, and so you're probably right in terms of the eco balance if you keep it like 10, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, if you keep it 5 or 6, if you're thinking environment, you're actually better off killing the tree.
Right. What's the point? I agree.
The one thing I've seen that there's a growing trend of that we considered this year, and we considered last year, and both years we haven't, but there are more and more people doing renting live Christmas trees, like not like live, like a live tree that's been chopped down, but live, like still has its roots in the ground. It's in a pot.
Oh, yes, I have seen that. And then the tree can be planted. Right.
Right.
Yes.
You rent it, you use it for your Christmas tree, and when you're done, you give it back and they go replant it somewhere.
Yes. I have seen that. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something we may do, like, one of these years if we get our act together. One of the problems with that, apparently, is, first of all, if you're going to do that practically, you have a limit on to how big this tree is going to be.
Well, obviously, yes. It's got to be, the roots need to fit in the pot, you know?
You're not going to strap it to the top of your car the same way you strap a tree that's been chopped down. And then apparently also for them to stay healthy during the Christmas season, it's apparently pretty bad for them to actually leave them inside the whole time. They have to have some outside time.
Outside air, okay.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a little bit more complicated than a regular tree thing.
Okay. Well, you know, so I've got that, and I don't know, I've got like, you know, obviously, I mean, this, I guess, it's kind of funny. I mean, this is like, I was just thinking about this. I mean, you know, I mean, if everything goes according to plan.
Next year. Well,
next year, this Christmas will be the first one that we'll have here with our baby, house. So it'll be quite different, like a Christmas. This year, I mean, and we'll probably still do the same thing as we're planning on doing this year. I mean, right now, today, we're here, you know, I made breakfast, and we were just hanging out, watching some TV and whatnot. My wife's brother came in from New York, and we're going to go to my sister's house. Since we spent Christmas Eve, well, usually like almost everywhere in Europe and in Latin America, Christmas gifts are open like
on Christmas Eve.
on Christmas Eve. Right. So we did that last night for part of the family, but in Puerto Rico, we don't do that. We do, like, you know, we open them in the morning. So I'm going to go to my family's house and visit with them, and we're going to go and, like, unwrap the other presents and for my nephews and all whatnot, and get together and have a good family day.
There you go.
Just the way it should be.
On my dad's side of the family, the tradition was everybody got to pick one gift on Christmas Eve, and the rest were Christmas morning.
I see.
Well, you know. Mm. Yeah, and we did not do that this year. We've sometimes done that, but we did not do that this year. But let's see. Any other Christmassy stuff to?
No. Yeah. I think we got the whole thing down for the Christmas.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about something else, and then something else, and then maybe one more something.
Okay.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
And we're back.
Well, I went and I pulled up something just to see, since it's the end of the year, okay, yeah. What somebody thought, in this case, I did a web search and came up to see who had the first list that I found. And it happened to be Yahoo, okay, all right, uh-huh. Of the top 10 news stories of 2011.
Oh, okay. Right. Yep, yep.
Okay, all right.
And I should point out, we're not going to do it this week, but next week we'll do our own Curmudgeon's Corner prediction show.
And we got to review our last year's predictions to see how bad
exactly.
Yvonne
and I have homework to listen to last year's show. So,
correct. Anyway. Yes.
Go ahead. So the top 10 news stories of 2011?
According to Yahoo, and anybody could disagree with it, I don't agree with the first one. I think this is retarded. But, you know, their first story is the Casey Anthony trial. Okay? You call that that woman that was accused of killing her baby in Orlando, like over here. I mean, that's just fucking retarded.
Honestly, I barely noticed that one. I mean, I know it was in the news when it happened, but
so did I. That's why I don't understand how they got. Well, I guess a lot of
There was a lot of coverage on it, and I know like it spent a lot of time on cable news and people were talking about it. But I mean, to be honest, to me, this was one of the things I heard about it, and I'm like, this is one of those cases where it's horribly, horribly unfortunate for the people involved, but it doesn't really matter to the rest of the world.
Right. I mean, listen, do we all agree that, you know, it's terrible that the baby got killed, died, or whatever happened? Yes, absolutely. But I mean, you know, he's not the only baby that probably died such a horrible death last year. And why are we focusing? I guess we just like the fact that, you know, the girl that did it, like, was good looking and liked to drink liquor and, like, get laid. And I don't know. You know, but why are we focusing just on that one when there are so many other suffering? I mean, really?
Yep, exactly.
I mean, you know, so. But I would guess the second story, which I think was far bigger than that one, was the Japanese earthquake and tsunami. Now
I would admit.
That had to be probably the biggest story of this year. I mean, I would have to say that I can't find qualms with that.
Certainly in terms of total impact.
Yes, absolutely. So that was number two.
How that would lose out to Casey Anthony? I mean, my God,
is beyond me. Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah. I'm just like, really? This fuck? I mean, really? So number three, which
Bin
again,
Laden?
I mean, actually, Bin Laden is number four.
Oh, okay.
Because it got beat by something else, which you and me paid absolutely zero attention whatsoever, which was the royal wedding.
There was a royal wedding.
That's right.
See, once again, this is the kind of thing where, okay, so this is top news stories in terms of, like, people paying attention, not in
sports. I guess, right.
Because,
right,
like,
right.
For God's sake, I mean, okay,
really?
Fine.
The fucking royal wedding? I mean, I don't know, so, I don't know.
Didn't we spend three or four whole shows on that?
I don't know if we spent 3 or 4 minutes. I think we talked about it at some point because, it, you know, yeah, it did happen, but, you know.
I did not watch it.
I did not watch it either.
Are they divorced yet?
No.
No, not yet.
They're still married. Okay. You know. Okay, so there you go. That's positive. That was like, actually, I'm surprised that on this list, talking about quick divorces, amazingly enough, is not the one that got really divorced real quick. Kim Kardashian's wedding. I figured that would have made it higher than freaking, like, for example.
See, that's another one. Like, I don't even know who the fuck she is.
Right. Well, I mean, I know who she is. I mean, but you know, I'm a little bit more educated on that one than
I've yourself. Heard the name. I know the name. But well, that's the
I mean, come on. But it, look, the way to keep up with that story, which I probably the way that I kept up with it, I will say, it's not by watching the news or reading so much about it. But it's like, look, I go shop at the supermarket. And on the checkout, all you had to do was read the covers, and you found out what was going on. Okay, all right, just you check it out. You would see they're engaged. You would see they're married. And then you would see 2 months later, they're divorced. Okay?
Okay.
That's it. So anyway, but that one didn't make the list. But number four was the death of Osama bin Laden, which, I mean, I would say in my book, that would be number two.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I would say number five. Was the unemployment, basically the economy.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And I would say, yeah, that's definitely top 10, absolutely, for the whole year, definitely. Number six, the Arizona shooting.
I'd forgotten about that.
I'd forgotten about that, too, but definitely, you know, when, what's her name? Representative Giffords? Giffords was Gabrielle Giffords. When she got shot in the head, and you know, people were nervous whether it was some kind of a terrorist attack or something or whatever. And then we found out it was just some kind of a normal lunatic. You know, then everybody calmed down. But yeah, but that was that's in there. Number seven, which. You know, I even had to research to see who the fuck this was. I mean, when it happened, because I had no clue about this person. The death of Amy Winehouse.
Oh, yeah, this is... You know, this list is full of crap.
It's not totally full of crap. Actually, the rest, you know, I'll say it's got some crap. But the rest are not bad, okay, I will say. Number eight, the Arab Spring Uprising.
See, now that should be like... Two or three.
Right. Number nine, the Libya and the death of Muammar Gaddafi. Okay.
These should all be higher.
I agree. And number 10, Occupy Wall Street.
Okay, yeah.
So, I think that, you know, you take out Casey Anthony and you take out the royal wedding and you take out Amy Winehouse, and that's a pretty good list. Now, let me see. Think about other three things. I mean, I'm amazed. There's one that isn't here. That's stunning that it's not here. Because I would say probably it should be in the top three, if not number one.
Yeah.
Which one do you think?
Well, the one that's coming to my mind is that all the preliminary election stuff. But that just may be me.
Yeah, because you're forgetting about the biggest one. The death of Steve Jobs.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes.
I mean, that's not even on the list. I mean, really? This got... I'm sorry. The death of Amy Winehouse did not get more publicity than the death of Steve Jobs. Okay? Nor the royal wedding, nor the Casey Anthony trial. Okay? All right? So, I would say that one was... That's a big one. Okay? Yeah, the whole political thing. Yep. I'll go with that. What else? Let me see. We got the campaign. Oh, they had over here, like, for example, the Wiener scandal, for example.
Okay.
Well, that I would say probably was bigger than frickin' Amy Winehouse as well.
Yeah.
So let's see. I think that, you know, if you add those three. So, I would say number one, actually, before the tsunami, the death of Steve Jobs. I would say
no, that. Well, it depends. Are you coverage? Are you doing coverage or are you doing importance? I think Steve Jobs is second in both. I mean, the tsunami got like first.
Nah,
of all,
the tsunami's number one. Tsunami's number one. You're right. Yeah, I would say tsunami number one. Steve Jobs that would go to number two. I would say that Osama bin Laden would probably be still my number three. And then, you know, you could debate about the rest on the list.
So I'm reviewing a nice list of things. Like, Wikipedia has a nice list. If you just look up 2011, it's okay. Got like a little chronology. I'm trying to think of important ones. Like, you know, they're not all important on this list. Like, January 1st, Estonia adopts the euro.
Yeah.
They're probably thinking that was a really good choice about now.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
We got Southern Sudan becoming independent. Yeah, we had the Arab Spring. We talked about that. There was Libya. We talked about that. A whole bunch of Arab Spring stuff. Let's see. Oh, yeah, the royal wedding. We got the royal wedding. We got Osama bin Laden. That's up through May.
Yep.
Ratko Mladic was caught. The Serbian
war the Serbian
crime guy.
Right.
We had some volcanoes going off.
Which volcanoes went off?
There's one in Chile. In Chile.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I should remember this. I had friends of mine that got stranded their flights because of the damn thing. Right.
We had the first artificial organ transplant using an artificial windpipe.
You what? Really?
Oh, we had the last space shuttle.
Yeah, we had the last space shuttle. Fuck. That's big. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, it was kind of anticlimactic, you know.
Well, but it was big. I mean, let's face it, it was the last space shuttle. I mean, that's got to get some priority over fuck. What? Hey, really? I mean, I would say probably I'd. I don't know. Okay. All right. I was looking if I would knock off any of the stories I had there because of that, and I'm like. Mm.
Oh, and we declared a formal end to the Iraq War.
The formal end to the Iraq War. A load of crap.
Yeah, I mean there are a bunch of other things on this list, but those are actually the only ones that like stood out for me.
Yeah, I think you know that list. I mean, I think that from what we discussed, I think we covered most of them. So.
You know, and it's interesting. They have a list of important people who died in 2011.
Yeah.
But they don't have a list of important people born in 2011.
Oh, they don't? Oh,
yeah.
Fuck. Oh, well. Damn. Well, I mean, actually, you know, I will say that there could be such things like of some important born. So, you know, I'll give you an example. Like, I don't know. I would say, like, if the president of the United States had a child, for example, while in office, I would say that that would be a significant birth. Yeah, you know, you could have something like that. It wouldn't be the same thing, but yeah, but you could have
You know, I was just trying to make a stupid joke, Yvonne.
I know, but I thought it was funny, but then I realized that I started thinking about it. You know what? There could be significant births. There could be, but you know, it's
well,
not the same.
And the main thing, of course, about significant births is you don't know yet.
That's right. Yes, absolutely.
So if you could have a list of people who will in the future become significant who were born in 2011, that would be quite an interesting list.
That would be one hell of a list, I tell you what. We fucking, you know. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this. A couple more things to talk about, I think. We'll be right back.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudge's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now, and now, and now, and now the break is over.
And Yvonne's singing. Gotta love it.
Well, you know what? I'm over here. Like, sometime this week, my wife has been, you know, the pregnancy has been, she's been
doing the morning sickness thing.
Oh my god, it's like overtime. Okay, on that. Okay, so you know, I've watched her toss shell myself. Like yesterday, all of a sudden, I'm just standing in my bedroom hallway, and all of a sudden, I see this woman racing to the bathroom, and just going, and just, oh, and I'm like, oh, no, that's not good. You know, so yeah, so we've been having some of that. And a couple of days ago, so my wife was going through my desk to find a card that we had for like 20% off for some shopping at the mall. Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just wanted to use for Christmas shopping. Okay, so the thing is that she asked me for it while I'm in the office. I'm like, you know, we had the day before. I don't know. We try to budget for our Christmas shopping. So what we'll do is we'll make a list of the people who are buying something. We'll assign certain dollar amounts, and you know, we'll try to go from there on the list and make sure who we got. So you know, we don't try to just go to the mall and just do stupid stuff. Okay, which I just managed to do something right now. But anyway, I digress. Anyway, so I go and she couldn't find this card. And, well, the thing is that I think I had an idea where it was on my desk, but I had just put some papers and stuff and whatever. So my wife decides to rifle through the desk in order to find it, right? Well, shit. I mean, right now, this desk is it's such a mess right now. I can't find anything in this damn desk. I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, she freaking just completely turned the place upside down. Did find it, by the way.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay. So, it wasn't like she turned it upside down in one of these unproductive, like, wild goose chases. She didn't manage to find it, but, man, now I'm, like, paying for the collateral damage of the search. So, I mean, that's the one thing. But how do you guys do that? I mean, I personally, that's what I try. I mean, I try to do it. I mean, you know, we were at the mall. You know, something, I mean, my wife was in love with one thing at the mall, and I looked at the budget, and I said, you know what, honey, I sat down with the numbers, I said, honey, you know what, I know you're in love with it, but no, we shouldn't do that.
So, I'll tell you, like, I used to be a lot more organized about this kind of stuff, and, you know, I would, you know, sort of set a budget, and how much I was spending on each person, like you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple years, I really haven't. I had occasionally bring up, okay, how much do we want to spend on Christmas this year? Because, like, she runs the money now.
Right.
And we never come to, like, a decisive conclusion on that. And so we always end up spending more than we really should. And also, she's, like, the type, she shops for Christmas all year long.
Ah, okay, so she's looking at stuff and thinking, oh, this is for this person, so yeah, this so is on, like, sale right now, so we'll pick it and put it away.
Yeah, I don't do that at all.
No, like, I don't. Believe me, neither does me nor my wife. I mean, my God, I mean, we shop for everything on the freaking... We got, like, 80% of what we were getting on the 23rd.
Yeah. No, she like, yeah, it'll be, like, February, and she's already got, like, somewhere in a closet Christmas gifts.
Okay. Yeah. Well, but that, you know, hey, if you know who you're targeting and you see the stuff and it's like, and you're getting a good value, which you'll probably get like sometime, especially like on some other time during the year.
Better than waiting for Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're going to shop for it and you're going to save money. I mean, might as well, you know?
So, I mentioned when I did a solo show a couple weeks ago, I mean, my basic strategy the last couple years has just been from December 1st until it's too late, I get one gift a day.
One gift a day.
One gift a day. And,
so how do you do that?
And almost exclusively online.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily start out with specific budgets for different people, but like I do have something in my and you know, last few years of all I used to give more expansively, but last few years it's been basically been immediate family only.
Uh-huh.
But like the but yeah, like I don't have a specific budget in mind, but I have an idea of like, you know, if it starts getting too high, I'm like, okay, this person's already gotten enough.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know, so I did keep track of how much I spent on each person.
I tried to do that. I think we did pretty decent. Like,
except I got some things as stocking stuffers yesterday that I didn't actually add into the totals.
Okay,
I forgot. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that, you know, some people like, I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, some people talk, well, the material aspect of the holidays and like whatever and whatnot. And I'm like, you know, look, it's nice to give stuff to people. I mean,
I'll go further along that line. I'll tell you, this holiday, for the most part, unless you're a little kid, is not about receiving gifts. It's about giving them.
Yes.
Okay? And like, a couple times, you know, I've had people, like, I've been like, well, what do you want? Are you interested in anything this year? And they're like, nope, no gifts, please. I already have too much stuff. Nothing. And I'm like, you know, that's a fine sentiment, but it deprives me of, like, the pleasure of finding you something and giving it to you, or giving you something that you need. Like, I love it when people actually do wish lists or whatever, because I know I'm getting them something they like, even though I know the whole thing about, like, you spend your own time thinking blah, blah, blah. But they're actually more likely to like it if they've actually want it, you know? But still, like, if you don't want anything, just suck it up and say you want some socks or something. I don't know.
I go, like, look, I've got the youngest nephews, I do get gifts.
Oh, by the way, I will say, sorry, I will say one thing. A couple of the people who are always the hardest on my list to get anything for, this year actually told me things they want, and I'm like, thank you very much. You know, so I got them things that they actually wanted, and I appreciate that very much from the people who've done it. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, this year, like, for example, I mean, my wife got me a very nice gift for last Christmas. But, you know, given that she's not working this year, and I actually, you know, we wound up at about the same time you got a car.
Yeah.
We wound up getting a new car as well here. Okay. Because, well, like, the reason being...
Like in the last few weeks, you got a new
like
car?
Like in the last couple of weeks, yes. Okay. Because we both had small, well, or... Not in my case, my car's not small. But
are you getting a baby car?
We got a family car. Okay, my wife had a 2-door hatchback Volkswagen GTI, which is not exactly really like helpful to.
It's not going to be good carrying around both of you plus a baby.
No. And my car is another sports coupe that definitely not. Really?
Not a baby car.
No, not even remotely close. And so given that the end of the year was around and actually, you know, if you buy a car, you know, I don't know if, you know, people realize this, but, you know, one of the things that you can get, you do get the sales tax is deductible, okay, from your federal income taxes. Okay?
Ah, nice to know.
Okay, so you should know about that. You purchased as well, so you can take that sales tax and you can add it to your sales, to your deduction on your income taxes for next year. So
TurboTax will tell me that.
Yes, it will ask you for that. Okay, so it's a good time to do it right now because let's face it, if you wait until January, what I was thinking is like, well, I know the baby's not due until August, but let's face it, if I do it after January 1st, then I'm not going to get the tax benefit of this thing until the following year. So I said, screw it, we're going to do it now. And so we went and we got we traded in the small Volkswagen GTI for a Volkswagen Tiguan, which is their little like. Small SUV type goal. So we got that. And, since I got her a car.
So you have enough room for several more kids.
Well, I mean, it's not that big. It is the compact SUV. It's like, you know, one of the things that was a primary concern of mine was fuel economy. It's like that gets 22 in the city, 28 in the highway. I was like, you know.
Okay. You can take the whole family, including the dog.
Right. Yes. Okay. And so, you know, so I was with that, but I was like, you know, since I got her a car, but I mean, I will admit, I gotta be honest, it didn't require any money out of my pocket. Me being the negotiator, you know, at the dealer, I basically just, you know, told him, I mean, I had a number already, I had pre-calculated already, and I just told him, you know what, here's the deal. Either you make this number or we're just walking out. How much money down are you putting? None. Okay. So figure it out. Like, you know, and the guys have to sit down over there. They're like, oh, shit, what the hell? And, of course, they want a deal. So they're like, well, we can give them this, we can give them that, we can get this down. And finally it came back. Okay, we can do it. Okay, good. All right. There you go. You know, so, yes. So that's what I did. And, you know, that made it relatively easy. But you know, I didn't, you know, my important thing right now is I want to save for the baby. I want to get stuff for him. I want to do that. And I was just like, you know, getting gifts for me. I'm like, whatever. I'm like, no. I just, you know, look.
I assume there will be a registry coming soon.
At some point, yes, absolutely, there will be. But we look, but we've been look. I gotta say that on that end, look, we're very lucky in that respect. I mean, we actually have like a lot of like my wife's aunts. They actually recently had children that are relatively small. They've already given us a ton of stuff, we needed for the baby. I mean, even though some of the stuff what happened to be like in Colombia, for example. No, but it's not that big a deal because their family, they have one of the businesses they have is a cargo airline. They're actually just going to freaking put it on one of the cargo flights and just ship the stuff over.
Okay.
So I don't even, so it's great. They bought all the stuff here in Miami in the first place. They took it down there because it was cheaper. And now I'm just going to freaking like just bring it all back to the freaking like have it. So like they're sending me a crib. They're sending me this. They're sending me like all this stuff like right now. So it's like, so it's good. I mean, that everybody's been like very, happy and generous and helping out. So, but anyway, yeah, I just decided that this year was not the year that we were going to go and like splurge on that kind of stuff. I did a deal where it took no money to get a new car. And I'm like, you know what? And my wife likes it. And I'm just like, you know what? Let's be frugal and wait for the baby. And next year, hopefully things will be better and the economy will be better and everybody will be better. And I'm going to go and like have a baby too. But of course, I don't know. First, at that time, what the hell is he going to really care about the gifts? So, I don't think he's going to be looking for a bunch of gifts probably next year.
Yeah, not quite yet. It takes a little while till they realize what's going on with the gifts.
Right.
But then when they do, the light bulb goes on and they're unwrapping everything they can find.
Right.
So, anyway, let's take another break. We somehow got back on Christmas and stuff. I actually have like one or two real things to talk about briefly, and then we'll wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Okay.
We'll be right back after this. Okay, so a couple things from last week that I wanted to briefly hit, and we can just do a few minutes on each one, but we did have the whole payroll tax debacle that went on over the last couple weeks. And then I also wanted to mention just your weekly update on the Republicans, specifically some of the interesting stuff in Virginia. So let's talk payroll tax first. So the take I've been getting from everybody in the news is for once the Democrats didn't cave and the Republicans did.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. And not just that, but the Republicans looked – a Wall Street
for once,
opinion piece
I
wrote that, you know what, not only has Obama not caved, but he made the Republicans look like they didn't want to cut taxes.
Yeah, which like I believe the words the Wall Street Journal used are "this should be impossible."
Right, but yet it wasn't. I mean, it was just retarded because the Republicans just absolutely just fumbled the whole damn thing. I mean, totally. I mean, and you know, because it sounded like first, well, we don't want to cut taxes. We don't want to cut taxes. They started like going off and like saying, well, we don't want to cut taxes, and then they just sounded like a whole bunch of basically stupid idiots at some point.
Well, like the payroll taxes aren't real taxes.
Right. They said shit like this and stuff and whatever. And then they started talking how everybody's got to pay taxes. And I'm like, oh, really? So everybody paid taxes. Apparently everybody, you know, except the rich or something. This thing got out of control. But then they finally, as they saw the thing spinning out of control, they finally said, okay, either we give up right now or we're just going to.
Well, I mean, more specifically, you know, this was the Tea Party House Republicans basically driving this agenda, saying they wouldn't vote for this, and forcing essentially the Speaker of the House, Bonnier, to do this, because if he didn't, he was gonna whatever. But like every other Republican on the planet, like the Senate Republicans and everybody else, well, with the exception of Rush Limbaugh, I'm sorry, not every Republican, but.
Oh, Rush Limbaugh didn't want to cut the... I didn't see this. Rush Limbaugh didn't want to cut the payroll tax.
I happened to flip by his show on the radio the other day, and I'm like, I haven't listened to Rush in, like, years.
So and who the hell does anymore? He's become, like, really, like, you know how important he used to be? He's, like, become almost irrelevant, but anyway.
Anyway, I listened to, like, 10 minutes, and it was all about how people were, you know, misconstruing the tax thing and how... You know, whatever. He was on the House, the side of the House Republicans, but everybody else was like, you know, stop. You're just hurting us. And so they caved. Now, of course, this is one of those things, though, that at the same time, I'm like, you know, one of the things people keep saying is the one thing that could take care of the deficit the fastest is if Congress did fucking nothing. And this is one of those examples. It's not the biggest example, but it's one of those examples where, you know, if Congress had done nothing, we actually would have increased revenues, and that would have helped the deficit situation. Now, you can argue about its impact on the overall economy, blah, blah, blah. But apparently, like, the overall impact of this particular thing was relatively minor. It's just an optics thing that let Obama say, I'm for cutting taxes, and the Republicans screw up and say that, they wanted to raise your taxes effectively.
Right.
So anyway, craziness. It's remarkable to see this is the Democrats actually did stick to their guns on this one. And of course people say one of the reasons is even in the worst case, like if these taxes had gone up on, you know, January 1st or whatever, the economy wouldn't implode like some of the other things that the Republicans have been obstructionist on. And the Democrats could come out of it essentially saying, hey, look what the Republicans did. So they had a good reason to not cave. Where some of the other times, you know, basically, you know, the Republicans were holding hostage the entire economy of the country and perhaps the world. And so they felt like they had to make a deal.
Right. But you know, one thing about this entire whole payroll tax is that, look, if you really want to cut the deficit, I mean, aside from, you know, you could reform this entire payroll tax to make it like that it raises more revenue, but yet cuts taxes for a lot of people.
You could not have a cap.
You could not have a cap. I mean, or you could have the cap.
Because right now,
like as I proposed.
What is it, $100K or something?
$107,000. Right. But you could also do it that you could change it that you would, like, for example, exempt anybody making under, you know, or exempt the first $20,000 or $30,000 of earned income. And then, you know, do it uncapped. And, you know, there are so many things that you could do that you would simultaneously cut certain people, you know, give a lot of put money into a lot of people's pockets while at the same time maintaining or increasing revenue.
Right.
But the problem is that right now nobody wants to sit down and like logically like do a debate to how to solve this stuff.
But Yvonne, you'd be increasing taxes on the people who drive our economy.
Right. That's right. Yeah, because they can't afford those. Right. I mean, especially if you're making if you're making like couple of million a year. I mean, why? I mean, yeah, you can't afford that shit. Right. So somebody that's making $2 million a year can't afford to pay 7% on his entire income. However, somebody who is making $30,000 a year has to pay 7% of his entire income. That really makes a hell of a lot of fucking sense.
There you go. Okay, so enough about the payroll tax thing. I did want to mention the Republicans. You know, I'm actually not going to do the poll rundown because nobody's running polls right now because of the holidays.
Right.
So basically nothing's changed. Well, probably things have changed, but we have no polls to show.
We have no information.
Yeah, so no information, so we'll skip that this time. But it is worth mentioning, however, that Newt Gingrich, specifically, and also Rick Perry and some of the others screwed up Virginia. The only two people who actually followed the correct process and got enough signatures to be on the primary ballot in the state of Virginia, which is not a small state, let me say.
No, it's not.
Are Romney and Paul.
Are you fucking kidding me?
None of the other candidates are going to be on the ballot, including, and by the way, I should say, in the polls, Gingrich was leading in Virginia.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And he's not going to be on the ballot.
What a campaign. What a campaign. You know,
Newt's campaign is calling this a horrible injustice and that it's their Pearl Harbor.
They're idiots. You know what? If I'm Romney, you want to vote for a candidate that can't even get himself organized enough to get on the ballot.
Oh, and then by the way, Newt said, we're going to mount a massive write-in campaign in Virginia because of this.
Right.
Neglecting the fact that write-ins are illegal in Virginia.
I was going to ask if it was possible. I guess he just answered the question. Brilliant. Brilliant.
And also, I will add that Virginia is... they're starting to come out with the summaries of how the delegates work in all the states, and it's a complicated mess. But in Virginia, there is a slate of at-large delegates that would be proportional if no candidate got over 50%. But if one candidate gets over 50%, it's winner-take-all.
You only got two candidates.
Somebody's going to be over 50.
I am guessing that Romney...
I would guess. Yeah, and then there are a bunch of other delegates in Virginia that are by congressional district that are all winner take all. So I am guessing, given that makeup, that I don't know if Paul can pull off a single congressional district. So I'm thinking Romney gets all of Virginia's delegates.
I would say that that's a safe assumption.
And why is this happening? Because Gingrich didn't fill out the paperwork.
Yeah, because Gingrich's campaign has been a disorganized clusterfuck from day one.
Fundamentally, here's the deal. I mean, we can say he's a disorganized clusterfuck, and he is. However, he was not preparing to be a competitive candidate. He was running a campaign that assumed he was going to be one of the guys who got 3%, and he made his point, and he drops out after New Hampshire, and he sells some books.
But that's my point. But that even drives the point home even further, how you should not take this asshole seriously.
Oh, and I'll also add, Governor Johnson of New Mexico, who was running as a Republican and was ignored, has announced he's going to run as a Libertarian. He's going to run for the Libertarian Party nomination. He is not the Libertarian Party's first choice. The Libertarians want Ron Paul to drop out of the Republicans and run as a Libertarian. But failing that, Johnson may get the Libertarian nomination. And I've seen some analysis that says he might have a shot in his home state of New Mexico.
Interesting.
Because he was a very popular governor of New Mexico and still has really high ratings in New Mexico, and which leaves the possibility of someone other than the major two parties getting some electoral votes.
That's happened a couple of times. It wouldn't be the first time.
It hasn't happened in a long time, though.
Right. But it's happened. I mean, it's not, you know.
But it's the kind of thing that puts you in danger of throwing elections into the House if it's close.
The danger.
Well, and by the way, I should point out, if an election gets thrown into the House, the Republican wins, given the current makeup of the House.
Is it the current House that votes or the next House?
The current House.
Mm.
Oh, no. It's the next House. It's the next House. So it could change. You're right.
So it could change.
No, wait. The Electoral College... No, it's the current House. The Electoral College meets in December. The new Congress gets sworn in in January.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's the current House.
Okay. All right. Well, but I don't...
I think. Okay. Well, you know, it's probably not going to happen, but it's interesting. And what was the other third party thingy. Oh, yes. Donald Trump registered as an independent. And is threatening also to run as an independent.
Oh, whatever.
He's pissed that his debate got canceled because no one wanted to show up.
Yeah, and because so now nobody wanted to talk to that bozo. He's a fucking clown. I mean, really, I don't understand why the fuck we gotta be talking about Donald Trump as a fucking presidential candidate. He's a joke. The man is a joke.
There you go. And I posted this on my blog, but I will say it here. The polls currently have Paul ahead in Iowa, Romney ahead in New Hampshire, Gingrich ahead in South Carolina. That's the first three states. A split decision out of the first three states is just fun and exciting. That's all I have to say about that right now. Like, three different candidates winning the first three states would just be awesome. You know, and then who knows where it goes from there, you know, because apparently, you know, by the way, Virginia is the biggest one, but it's not the only state that Gingrich has forgotten to get on the ballot for. Oh, I think Missouri or something was also.
What a fucking dumbass. I mean, I swear to God. I mean, really?
Look, things are looking pretty damn good for Romney.
That's what I would say.
You know, which is what we've said all along. You know,
right.
There may be some drama and stuff going on, but in the end, Romney's got the organizational structure. Romney's, aside from Ron Paul, and Ron Paul is an important spoiler here, but nobody believes he's going to wind it up with the Republican nomination. Romney is the only one with a national organization in all 50 states that's up and running, doing things. And he's got the support of the establishment. They're not very excited, but he's got, you know, more establishment, what do you call them, endorsements than anybody else. And everybody else is just, I think, you know, use the word clown. It's the right word. I mean, you know, what, are we suddenly going to get Bachman? Although I'll give you another quote.
I mean, Bachman, Santorum. I mean,
Yvonne. In the last week, a certain person we like posted.
Huntsman?
No, came out and said that it's not too late to jump in.
Who was that?
Sarah Palin.
Oh, fuck. Bitch. Swear to God. Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I think, you know why she said that. I mean, let's face it.
Because she hasn't been in the news at all.
Exactly. What a fucking loser. I swear to God. I mean, you know what really kills me about her? It's not her herself. It's every one of these bosses is just fucking swoons all over her. I mean, you know, she is a fucking opportunist idiot, okay? I mean, she just, you know, will milk this publicity to get all the money she can. And, you know, when her fucking publicity goes down, then she goes and starts talking bullshit and she can get back in the news. That's it.
Fucking. Yeah.
Fucking McCain, you stupid minions.
Oh, I will note, and I noted this on Twitter as well, but I was very excited to see yesterday morning when John McCain tweeted his score in Doodle Jump.
Well, at least he's got one thing in common with you.
Now, he later claimed... He let his grandkids play with the phone.
Okay, all right.
But I don't know if I'm buying it.
I don't know. I can believe that. I can believe that.
Okay. Anyway, but it's interesting though that if that can happen, that means he's actually tweeting himself on his little phone, and it's not like some staff member. At least some of the time.
At least some of the time, yeah. So that's interesting. Okay.
Anyway, I think that's a show.
That's a show. We're done. We're out.
Happy holidays, everybody. It's it'll be almost New Year's by the time you listen to this show, probably.
Yeah.
So Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Spend some time with your family. Enjoy it. You know.
Exactly.
It's the important thing.
Hopefully, you have some time off.
Yeah.
Next week, Yvonne and I will be reviewing how we did on last year's prediction show. And then we're going to make some projections for 2012.
Yes. Predictions, baby.
There you go. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Email me, abelsmay@abelsmay.com. Tell your friends to listen. And goodbye.
Bye-bye.